Kindness is never wasted. A compilation.
Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 4:32. Christians have long celebrated kindness as one of their heavenly virtues. Yet, we live in a day that often makes very little of kindness. We assume it's free. We celebrate random acts of kindness. We think of kindness without context. Of course, in our mean world, it is pleasant to be surprised by a stranger's kindness, free and random as it may seem. But the Christian vision of kindness is far deeper, more significant, and contextualized. Christian kindness is no common courtesy or virtue in a vacuum, but a surprising response to mistreatment and hurt. It is not random or free, but a costly, counterintuitive response to meanness, to outrage, rather than responding in kind. Among other graces, kindness often appears hand in hand with patience and compassion. As for compassion, Ephesians 4:32 memorably explains the command to be kind to one another. And the word tender-hearted or compassionate, Greek, eusplanknos. Kindness is an expression of a tender, compassionate heart. Colossians 3:12 puts all three together with humility and meekness. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Kindness, Paul says, is a produce of the Spirit, not of the natural human heart. Real kindness requires intervention from the outside, both from God's Spirit and also His divine Son stepping into our world, showing us a different way and doing it climactically to our eternal salvation and joy. Ultimately, it is the kindness of God that melts an unforgiving spirit, softens a hard heart, and transforms unkind actions. In Christ, we become the kind of people who see others and have compassion for them and exercise patience toward them and show kindness to them, knowing not only that we ourselves have been shown kindness, but that in the coming ages, God Himself will show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We have only begun to taste the kindness of our God. David Mathis. Believers are to put on kindness, tender-heartedness, and forgiveness. These three virtues also deal with interpersonal relationships. In the original Greek, the phrase rendered, be kind to one another, literally means keep on becoming kind toward one another. The graciousness of God, which is also found in Jesus Christ, shows us what it means to be kind to one another. Because God acts kindly toward us, we are to behave the same way toward others. Compassion and kindness are closely linked. Compassion can be defined as heartfelt sympathy or empathy toward those who are suffering or in need. Kindness is the helpful spirit that sees someone else in need and is motivated to respond through good deeds. Kindness is the tangible action that results from compassion. Kindness goes beyond mere words. It translates into helping and serving one another. GotQuestions.org. Everyone has influence. Moment by moment, your attitude and level of happiness are reflected in the little things you say and do, and those are bound to affect others. What kind of impact do you usually have? Think of the things people have done that made your day, and make a point of doing those same things for others. Not only will you brighten someone else's day, but you will also find that you are happier and see life more positively. Little things count. Small acts of kindness can create an atmosphere of love and tenderness. Ask me for ideas of ways to show love to your loved ones. Also, don't underestimate the value of random acts of kindness. Start a chain reaction of kind deeds and watch the love in your life blossom. You won't regret it. Jesus. As I walked through the parking lot, all I could think about was a dire diagnosis I had handed my patient, Jimmy: pancreatic cancer. Just then I noticed an elderly gentleman handing tools to someone working under his stalled car. That someone was Jimmy. "Jimmy, what are you doing?" I yelled out. Jimmy dusted off his pants. "My cancer didn't tell me not to help others, Doc," he said, before waving at the old man to start the car. The engine roared to life. The old man thanked Jimmy and drove off. Then Jimmy got into his car and took off as well. Take-home message: kindness has no limits and no restrictions. Muhammad Bashar. I forgot about the rule preventing liquids in carry-on luggage, so when I hit security at the airport, I had to give up all my painting supplies. When I returned a week later, an attendant was at the baggage area with my paints. Not only had he kept them for me, but he looked up my return date and time in order to meet me. Marilyn Kinsella. My neighbors, Jay and Treva, have been the best since we moved in. When my husband, Jim, got brain cancer, they helped with yard work and snow removal. When Jim passed away, they were always helping me with anything they could: meals, yard work, snow removal, putting my trash can away when I would forget. They still continue to care for me, and if they don't see me outside for a while, they text to make sure I'm all right and not down or anything. I know I can always count on them to be there for me no matter what happens. Shelley Golay. Ruth went to her mailbox and there was only one letter. She picked it up and looked at it before opening, but then she looked at the envelope again. There was no stamp, no postmark, only her name and address. She read the letter. "Dear Ruth, I'm going to be in your neighborhood Saturday afternoon. I'd like to stop by for a visit. Love always, Jesus." Her hands were shaking as she placed the letter on the table. Why would the Lord want to visit me? I'm nobody special. I don't have anything to offer. With that thought, Ruth remembered her empty kitchen cabinets. Oh my goodness, I really don't have anything to offer. I'll have to run down to the store and buy something for dinner. She reached for her purse and counted out its contents. $5.40. Well, I can get some bread and cold cuts, at least. She threw on her coat and hurried out the door. A loaf of French bread, a half pound of sliced turkey, and a carton of milk, leaving Ruth with a grand total of 12 cents to last her until Monday. Nonetheless, she felt good as she headed home, her meager offerings tucked under her arm. "Hey, lady, can you help us, lady?" Ruth had been so absorbed in her dinner plans, she hadn't even noticed two figures huddled in the alleyway, a man and a woman, both of them dressed in little more than rags. "Look, lady, I ain't got no job, you know, and my wife and I have been living out here on the street, and, well, now it's getting cold and we're getting hungry, and, well, if you could help us, lady, we'd really appreciate it." Ruth looked at them both. They were dirty, they smelled bad, and she was certain that they could get some kind of work if they really wanted to. "Sir, I'd like to help you, but I'm a poor woman myself. All I have is a few cold cuts and some bread, and I'm having an important guest for dinner tonight, and I was planning on serving that to him." "Yeah, well, okay, lady. I understand. Thanks anyway." The man put his arm around the woman's shoulders, turned, and headed back into the alley. As she watched them leave, Ruth felt a familiar twinge in her heart. "Sir, wait." The couple stopped and turned as she ran down the alley after them. "Look, why don't you take this food? I'll figure out something else to serve my guest." She handed the man her grocery bag. "Thank you, lady. Thank you very much. Yes, thank you." Ruth could see now that the man's wife was shivering. "You know, I've got another coat at home. Here, why don't you take this one?" Ruth unbuttoned her jacket and slipped it over the woman's shoulders. Then, smiling, she turned and walked back to the car, without her coat and with nothing to serve her guest. "Thank you, lady. Thank you very much." Ruth was chilled by the time she reached her front door, and worried too. The Lord was coming to visit, and she didn't have anything to offer him. She fumbled through her purse for the door key, but as she did, she noticed another envelope in her mailbox. She thought, "That's odd. The mailman doesn't usually come twice in one day." She took the envelope out of the box and opened it. "Dear Ruth, it was so good to see you again. Thank you for the lovely meal. And thank you too for the beautiful coat. Love always, Jesus." The air was still cold, but even without her coat, Ruth no longer noticed. Author unknown.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.